Today's reading begins in 1 Samuel, chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Now it happened on a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let's go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he didn't tell his father. Saul stayed in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. The people didn't know that Jonathan was gone. Between the passes, by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Seneh. The one crag rose up on the north in front of Michmash, and the other on the south in front of Geba. Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint on the Lord to save by many or by few." His armor-bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go, and behold, I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will pass over to the men, and we will reveal ourselves to them. If they say this to us, wait until we come to you. Then we will stand still in our place and will not go up to them. But if they say this, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand. This shall be the sign to us." Both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up on his hands and on his feet, and his armor-bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer killed them after him. That first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made, was about 20 men, within, as it were, half a furrow's length in an acre of land. There was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and amongst all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so there was an exceedingly great trembling. The watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away and scattered. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Count now, and see who is missing from us." When they had counted, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring God's ark here." For God's ark was with the children of Israel at that time. While Saul talked to the priest, the tumult that was in the camp of the Philistines went on and increased, and Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Saul and all the people who were with him were gathered together and came to the battle, and behold, they were all striking each other with their swords in very great confusion. Now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before and who went up with them into the camp from all around, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over by Beth-Aven. The men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed is the man who eats any food until it is evening, and I am avenged of my enemies." So none of the people tasted food. All of the people came into the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people had come to the forest, behold, honey was dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan didn't hear when his father commanded the people with the oath. Therefore he put out the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the people answered, and said, "Your father directly commanded the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats food today.'" So the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. Please look how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if perhaps the people had eaten freely today of the plunder of their enemies which they found? For now there has been no great slaughter amongst the Philistines." They struck the Philistines that day from Michmash to Aijalon. The people were very faint, and the people pounced on the plunder and took sheep, cattle, and calves and killed them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people are sinning against the Lord, in that they eat meat with the blood. He said, You have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me today. Saul said, Disperse yourselves amongst the people, and tell them, Every man bring me here his ox, and every man his sheep, and kill them here and eat, and don't sin against the Lord in eating meat with the blood. All the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and killed them there. Saul built an altar to the Lord. This was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Saul said, Let's go down after the Philistines by night, and take plunder amongst them until the morning light. Let's not leave a man of them. They said, Do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, Let's draw near here to God. Saul asked counsel of God, Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he didn't answer him that day. Saul said, Draw near here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see in whom this sin has been today. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, though it is in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man amongst all the people who answered him. Then he said to all Israel, You be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son be on the other side. The people said to Saul, Do what seems good to you. Therefore Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, Show the right. Jonathan and Saul were chosen, but the people escaped. Saul said, Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. Jonathan was selected. Then Saul said to Jonathan, Tell me what you have done. Jonathan told him, and said, I certainly did taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and behold, I must die. Saul said, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. The people said to Saul, Shall Jonathan die, who has worked this great salvation in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has worked with God today. So the people rescued Jonathan, so he didn't die. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Now when Saul had taken the kingdom over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, and against the children of Ammon, and against Edom, and against the kings of Zobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned himself, he defeated them. He did valiantly, and struck the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua, and the names of his two daughters were these, the name of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the captain of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. There was severe war against the Philistines all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any mighty man or any valiant man, he took him into his service. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, starting in verse 31, But of the multitude, many believed in him, that is, Jesus. They said, When the Christ comes, he won't do more signs than those which this man has done, will he? The Pharisees heard the multitude murmuring these things concerning him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Then Jesus said, I will be with you a little while longer. Then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and won't find me. You can't come where I am. The Jews therefore said amongst themselves, Where will this man go that we won't find him? Will he go to the dispersion amongst the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this word that he said, You will seek me and won't find me, and where I am, you can't come? Now on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from within him will flow rivers of living water. But he said this about the Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. Many of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, This is truly the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, What, does the Christ come out of Galilee? Hasn't the scripture said that the Christ comes of the offspring of David, and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So a division arose in the multitude because of him. Some of them would have arrested him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, Why didn't you bring him? The officers answered, No one ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees therefore answered them, You aren't also led astray, are you? Have any of the rulers or any of the Pharisees believed in him? But this multitude that doesn't know the law is cursed. Nicodemus, he who came to him by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man unless it first hears from him personally and knows what he does? They answered him, Are you also from Galilee? Search and see that no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Everyone went to his own house. Psalm 109, beginning in verse 1. God of my praise, don't be silent, for they have opened the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of deceit against me. They have spoken to me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my adversaries, but I am in prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him. Let an adversary stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come out guilty. Let his prayer be turned into sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be wandering beggars. Let them be sought from their ruins. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let strangers plunder the fruit of his labor. Let there be no one to extend kindness to him, neither let there be anyone to have pity on his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. In the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered by the Lord. Don't let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth, because he didn't remember to show kindness, but persecuted the poor and needy man, the broken in heart, to kill them. Yes, he loved cursing, and it came to him. He didn't delight in blessing, and it was far from him. He clothed himself also with cursing, as with his garment. It came into his inward parts, like water, like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as the clothing with which he covers himself, for the belt that is always around him. This is the reward of my adversaries from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my soul. But deal with me, God the Lord, for your name's sake, because your loving kindness is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body is thin and lacks fat. I have also become a reproach to them. When they see me, they shake their head. Help me, Lord, my God. Save me according to your loving kindness, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. They may curse, but you bless. When they arise, they will be shamed, but your servant shall rejoice. Let my adversaries be clothed with dishonor. Let them cover themselves with their own shame, as with a robe. I will give great thanks to the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him amongst the multitude. For he will stand at the right hand of the needy, to save him from those who judge his soul. Proverbs chapter 15, starting in verse 5. A fool despises his father's correction, but he who heeds reproof shows prudence. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the income of the wicked brings trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so with the heart of fools.